Colossians chapter 3 is one of those passages that the Apostle Paul, he targets certain kinds of people. He talks about wives and husbands and children and slaves and masters. There towards the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 18 and so on. But it's, I picked it because it's representative of what Paul does, as well as Peter. They target certain groups of people and give them advice about how to live their lives in a godly way. And what a wonderful opportunity we have today to not only enjoy our relationship with the Lord, but also to delve into His Word and find out what He has to say about us, to us, through His Word. But we find the same kind of thing in the Old Testament as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of the most famous passages, Moses is talking about how parents need to teach their children about the Lord. And he says any time of the day is the perfect opportunity for that. Whether you're getting up in the morning or going down at night or walking in the middle of the day, whenever it is, you have an opportunity to teach your children well. The proverb writer, most of the beginning several chapters of Proverbs seem to be from the wise father telling his son, listen to me, listen to my words, my son. Don't forget my words or your mother's words. So there's lots of this kind of stuff happening in the Bible. And we want to take time today, if we're going to single somebody out, and I don't mean to embarrass them, but we want to single out our young people this morning. I'm so glad we've got some this morning with us. We want to talk to them about what's coming up for them. It's the beginning of a new school year. Some are going into a different grade. Some are heading to college. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on. And it's especially important for young people to recognize that God speaks to you in this time. We're going to call this the ABCs of going back to school. And we're only going to deal with three things, A, B, C. But just because the school is right around the corner, doesn't mean we can't start working on those ABCs. So let's just talk about it for a moment this morning. First of all, let's talk about being alert. That's the A, right? Alert to what? Well, lots of things, but for one, is being alert to temptation. Now, young people, you know what's out there. Probably better than your parents do. Your parents have their own experiences of what they dealt with when they were going to school, but you know what's out there. And you know, the kids that indulge in things that maybe they shouldn't. You know about the things that they're doing. But are you careful to watch for it? Are you careful to be alert to what might lure you in? A long time ago, Britney Spears, remember her? Britney who? Britney Spears saying, oops, I did it again. Remember that? Well, that's kind of a lackadaisical way to look at sin. But sometimes we do that, don't we? Sometimes we think, oh, there I go again. I did that dumb thing that I always do. I did it again, right? That's too lackadaisical way to look at it. What I want to do this morning is challenge our young people to recognize that we can't afford to be so careless. We need to know that we should be alert to the devil and to his schemes. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And if you look weak or susceptible, guess what he's gonna do? The devil's gonna make you his lunch. He's gonna eat you up. That's what he wants to do, and he's good at it. And he doesn't let up just because a new school year has begun. He doesn't let up just because you've got a lot of other things on your mind. If anything, he'll try harder because you're distracted by all the responsibilities you've got, by trying to learn the new material, by whatever's going on. He's gonna sneak in there and do what he can to trip you up. So let's think about this. What kind of temptation should you be looking out for? One temptation is the temptation to strike back or strike out. There's a lot in the news lately, in fact there has been for a while, about bullying. And bullying is real. Bullying is prevalent. Bullying was around when I was a kid in school 100 years ago. You know, sometimes kids can be mean to other kids. And the temptation sometimes would be to lash out. If you're the subject of somebody's meanness, if you're the one whose case they're on, sometimes it can be tempting to fight back, to get back, to get revenge, right? That's human for us. Don't. I don't mean that you should be a doormat and just take it. But don't fight fire with fire. Don't lash out to somebody else's meanness with meanness of your own. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, look first in verse 19. Romans 12, verse 19. The inspired apostle, who himself was a subject of bullying to a high degree, said, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now those are pretty words on a thin page in your Bible. But the bottom line is that God's going to take care of it. And it doesn't matter what you do in this life, eventually God's going to take care of it. But you've got the opportunity to do something with your own character to show people that you're not like them. Over in the book of Luke, go with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And look at what Luke records as Jesus' words. In Luke chapter 6, look at verse 27. Luke 6 verse 27. "I say to you, who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Now I know, again, those words are easier said than done, but the challenge is yours to do something with them, to show people who are being mean to you that you're not like them. You've got a different character because of the one who lives in you. So the temptation to fight back is one thing, but there's also the temptation as kids get older to try something new, like drugs or alcohol, and I'll be frank, like sex. One of my daughters and another son-in-law are teachers. And I know some of you are teachers as well. My son-in-law is a high school teacher. My daughter was a junior high teacher, a middle school teacher, and now she's an administrator. But I remember her telling me, "Dad, you wouldn't believe the things we see in our middle school kids. They're experimenting with all kinds of stuff. So that by the time they get to high school, they've already got all kinds of experience at all the wrong stuff. And that's scary." I remember the experiences I had when I was in school. By the time I got to high school, I'm a poster child for bad decisions. Best decision I ever made was to accept Christ as Savior and do what He said. But before that, I got into a lot of trouble. And so by the time I got to high school, I was involved in a whole lot of wrong, terrible things because of my own dumb choices to try to do something new. Well, it took a lot of undoing to get past that. And I look at a lot of my friends now. Look, I'm an old guy. I'm 60 years old. And when I go back home to my hometown, I see guys the same age as me still trying to live like they're 17. And that doesn't work. Because they were made slaves to something that they should have just left alone. Now, they gave in. And you might be tempted to give in. Don't. Don't do something you'll regret, because you will regret it eventually. So, have a plan. This is the second thing. Be careful with temptation. Have a plan. 1 Peter 5:9 says, "Resist the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who were in the world." Now 1 Peter 5:9 says to resist him, but resist him knowing that you're not alone. And you need to know that. You need to recognize that there are other kids who were just like you, who struggle with the stuff that you're struggling with. And you need to form a kind of silent solidarity with those other ones who were struggling. There are people all around you, people you may not even know who are struggling with the same things that you are. But there are people around you who, while they don't struggle with those things, they're still rooting for you. They're rooting for you to succeed. They're your parents, they're your friends, they're your fellow church members, they're your teachers. They want you to succeed, and more than that, God wants you to succeed. God wants you to overcome those things and to show people that the one who lives in me is stronger than the one who lives in the world. God wants to help you in those things. And so be alert. Be alert to the fact that there are others who are dealing with the same things and they're succeeding and you can too. But be alert also to opportunities to do good. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? In Luke chapter 10, all kinds of people saw this guy all beat up and left for dead, you know, and all these supposedly holy people walk by him and they kind of go around him and go on their way. And then there's the Samaritan, the one that nobody ever thought would be the one to stop and help. And he did, right? Now, I'm not saying you need to go out of your way and look for people who were beat up and left for dead by the side of the road, but I am saying is that if you open your eyes, you'll see that there's all kinds of opportunities for you to do something positive with your life. Even if it's a very little thing, to show appreciation for someone who's trying to teach you to do right, to show with your life that Jesus is real to you, He means something to you, and that He governs every decision that you make. There's an opportunity for you to do something good. And maybe, just maybe, you can do that with somebody who's struggling with the same things that you are. To show them that it's possible to make the right decisions, to do good in spite of what anybody else says. Show them that it can be done. Remember what we read back in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 28? One of the things that Jesus says is that you have the opportunity to pray for others, to pray for those who are being mean to you. I tell you what, if you want to stop somebody in their tracks, when they're coming down on you, say, I'll pray for you. They don't know what to do with that. they are utterly surprised with what to do with that. But what a great response for anybody who's dealing with something. I'll pray for you. I love those words more than anything. When somebody tells me, I'll pray for you, man, what better help can you have than someone going to God, mentioning your name, and asking God to help? I'll pray for you. You can have the opportunity to pray for others and tell them that you're praying for them. Secondly, be bold. Now, I don't mean that you should be obnoxious or rude or arrogant. What I'm talking about is being courageous for Christianity. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of who you belong to. There's going to be some who make fun of you. Some will accept what you stand for. Some won't. So what? Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 verse 14, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now it doesn't feel that way, right? When somebody's writing your case or when somebody's hurling insults at you because you're trying to be a good person, that's not the way of the world. And usually they'll look down on you and they'll tell you what they think about you because you're trying to be good. It's hard to think, woohoo, I'm getting, you know, somebody mad at me, I'm so blessed. That's not what Peter means. Peter means, consider the company that you keep. Consider the one whom you belong to. And know that you're different. You're not like everybody else. In the early church, some Christians were getting arrested and ordered not to do the right thing, not to talk about Jesus, not to help other people to get pointed to Jesus. And you know what they did? They shut their mouths and they hid in their houses. No, they didn't do that. You know what they did? They got bolder. They prayed that God would help them. In Acts 4, verse 29, this is their prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And then the following couple of verses tells us that that's exactly what happened. They went out, and instead of shutting their mouths and tucking their tails in like scared puppy dogs, they spoke about the Lord and people heard, listened, and responded. Now, how wonderful it would be if in spite of all the stuff that comes down on you, wherever you're at school, and the group of people that you know, if somebody's giving you a hard time because you're trying to do the right thing, if you just stood up taller, prouder for who you are, who you know, and did it anyway. Be bold in standing up and in standing out. Don't be afraid to let people see your goodness. Don't be afraid to let people know that you really believe in what this book says and in the one who it talks about. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of His testimony. Recognize that it's the very thing that's going to help you stand up and stand out. In Philippians chapter 2, make a right with me if you're still in Luke. Make a right to Philippians chapter 2 and look with me at what the Apostle Paul says in verse 15. Philippians, actually let's begin in verse 14. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you'll prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now just stop there for a moment. First of all, don't think to yourself, I'm a Christian, I can't have any fun, I gotta be a good person. He says, don't grumble, don't complain about it. It's a blessed life. It's a far better life than any other you could ever choose. But second, he says, recognize this, that people notice what you do. And you're either going to light up their life in some way, or you're going to make the darkness darker for them. You have the opportunity to do something good and positive for people with the life that you live. And they'll notice. But what's even more important than that is that God notices. He's working through you to bring some light into this dark world. And it can be, I get it, kind of intimidating. In spite of the fact that you already know that there are people all around you who suffer and who struggle and who are dealing with their own problems, it can feel sometimes like standing alone. And you might be the only one in your sphere of school influence who's standing up for what's right. Remember this. What's right is not always popular. What's popular is not always right. You can develop the herd mentality. You can go with everybody else and you can get into the same trouble that they're getting into because you refuse to learn those lessons. Or you can realize that God calls you to be different. You know that Bible word, sanctification? That's what that means. It means that God has called you to be holy, to be sacred. And that means, naturally, that you're going to be different than everybody else. And that's the better life. So be bold in that way. A, be alert. B, be bold. C, be Christ-like. Some of our young people may be too young to remember this, but remember the WWJD craze? What would Jesus do? It was on wristbands and necklaces and bumper stickers and all kinds of stuff. Remember that? Everybody thought, or at least most people that I talked to thought that it was some kind of fad. And most religious people that I spoke to thought, it's just silly. I thought it was great. I thought it was a great idea. Wish I thought of it. Actually, somebody else thought of it. The writers of the Bible thought of it. What would Jesus do? I have this great book in my computer. It's also on my Bible, on my bookshelf, among many others, if you've seen my office. It's a dictionary that talks about different topics in the Bible. One of the most interesting things that I do is I look at what it says about Jesus. Because it tells me how Jesus can be my example. If I want a WWJD, well, I need to know what Jesus did. Jesus can be my example. John says in 1 John 2 verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. We need to be able to think like Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 5, Paul says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the attitude that Paul is talking about is about being a servant. It's about recognizing that God calls us to serve. We're told in Luke chapter 6 verse 40, Jesus says, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. And that's what the whole WWJD thing was all about. Being like Jesus. Jesus, the master teacher, says, really, if you want to pay the best compliment to your teacher, be like your teacher. That means absorb their teaching. Be who they are. Now in that Bible topical dictionary that I have, it lists several characteristics of Jesus. It talks about His compassion, His faithfulness, His forgiveness, His generosity, His holiness, His humility, His love, His mercy, His obedience, His unselfishness. And the list goes on and on and on, but you get the idea. There's lots of ways in which we can be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, we need to be like Jesus is, so we can be Christ-like in our relationships, whether people like us or not, in our friendships. Be Christ-like in our language. Be Christ-like in the decisions that we make and the choices that face us. We can be Christ-like in every single facet of our lives. And this book helps us to do that. So, school's about to begin. But it's not too early to start working on our ABCs. And these ABCs, although we target at our young people today, it's not just for them. Parents are for you too. You can be alert. You can be bold. And you can be Christ-like. And if you want to have an impact on your young person, whoever he may be in your life or in your house, model this for them. Show them how it's done. Young people, if you want your friends to make the choice to follow Jesus that perhaps you've made, or maybe you're thinking about making that choice for yourself to obey Him in baptism, what is it that you really want out of it? Is it just to go to heaven? Or is it to have a way to live in this life that helps you in every way in this life? Those are the ABCs of going back to school. And I hope that when you pack your tablet or your Chromebook or whatever it is you're taking back to school with you this year, that you'll take these ABCs. Will you pray with me for a moment? Let's back. Our Father in heaven, we lift up to you our young people. We recognize the difficulties and the struggles that they face, and we also recognize the choices that they'll have to make this year. And we pray that first and foremost, they will look to you for all that they do. And we also pray for those of us who are older that we can have a positive impact in helping direct them in those decisions. Ultimately, Father in heaven, we pray that every decision that they make, every choice that they choose, every action that they take honors you and glorifies you, even as it makes them better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.